Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we are halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. So wonderful to be here with you. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well.
Friendly, but not caring quite as much about what other people think as I used to.
Ooh, is that something you've been working on?
No, I think it just happens naturally with age.
It happens with age. You get a little bit more wise, and you stop caring as much.
So yesterday,
I'm not there yet, by the way.
I was really tired. So, you know, had the long night on Monday, Viejas Arena, didn't get home until midnight. And then yesterday, right after the show, I went and shot our next ABC 10 News Leadership Awards story and did, you know, 2-hour shoot. It's actually a really good thing. It's, you know, it's called Senior Gleaners. It's seniors who go pick people's, like, orchards and trees that otherwise the fruit would just fall to the ground and go to waste, and then they donate it to food banks and help the hungry, so it's, like, a good activity. It helps the homeowner.
So it's
it
like
helps
geriatric labor.
It is. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, free okay. geriatric
free
labor.
Free geriatric labor. All right.
So I did that story, but then and I go back to Channel 10 in the afternoon.
You're in my house now, Grandma.
Yeah, now you're in my house, Grandma.
And I did the 6 o'clock news, and then it's, like, 7:30, and I'm just beat.
You're bushed.
I am tired, like old school, how I used to get really, really tired. And I thought, I need to take a little nap. But it was so cold outside. I didn't want to go out to my car, which is what I had done in the past.
You have heat in your car.
Isn't that dangerous to, like, turn on your car and just
not
sit
unless
in
you
the
put
heater?
A hose in the exhaust and then also run said hose into your car.
And I don't we just redid the whole newsroom and everything, so I don't have the office anymore. I used to have an office where I could just crash.
You have no office.
So we just have cubicles now in the newsroom. And I thought, well, what am I going to do?
But they would quit.
So they put in this, like, cool, like, couch area. It's just right kind of in the middle of the newsroom, though, and
I thought,
you know what?
Oh, no.
So I laid down for 20 minutes, and, like, a couple people, like, while I walked by, goes, are you taking a nap?
And are you on heroin?
Yes, I'm taking a nap. Big deal. Who cares? I'm taking a quick nap. That's my break. It's my dinner break. I didn't bring dinner. Instead of taking a dinner break, I took a nap break, and I just slept in the newsroom. Is that wrong of me?
I
was comfortable. It was perfect.
I want to cut your head open and crawl inside.
But why should I care? It was the right choice for me. Like, it was the perfect, and I felt so much better.
You're not embarrassed?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, why don't we set up some pillows on the big island table in the kitchen here, the community area, and Ben just takes a nap across that. It's nice and flat.
Not tired right now.
We have a huge island in there. Yeah, we'll put a little sleeping bag, a little rubber pad. Michael walks by to set the bagels down. There's our morning show host just sleeping.
You really feel like my colleagues. Like, you're doing what's the best for you. I wasn't disturbing anyone. I was just taking a little siesta
in the middle of everyone's area.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was.
Is there hustle and bustle going on?
No, it's pretty quiet at that time. You know, two or three people walked by, said something to me. And I go, yeah, I'm just taking a little rest here.
You are fine. You are unbelievable.
Is that bad?
It's not bad. It's just weird. When you have a car and you can just sleep in your car.
What I used to do. It was just really cold last night. I did not want to go out in the cold. I was already feeling kind of chilly, and I thought, it's nice and warm in here. It's comfy. It's padded. I'm just gonna You're take amazing. A little rest.
You are my favorite person. I just every time he tells me something like this, I'm like, why am I surprised?
Well, he tells it so nonchalantly.
Nonchalant.
It's not a big deal, or it's not weird, or anything. But it is. It's
weird. That's a weird. They really should have like a lounge.
Yeah, I mean, we have like a break room, but it's a kitchen. There's nowhere to lay down. There's no couch or anything in there. The only one is. It's actually where we put all of our Emmys. Like they're around there.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, got blinged out as I took my nap.
Do you have a pillow?
I didn't have a pillow, but there was kind of a nook on the side of the couch area. And I
remember
just put my head
when
there.
George Costanza had them build a bed in his desk. Under his desk, he's like, this is the greatest sleep I've ever had in my whole life. Maybe you can do that.
I got a little Costanza in me. There's no doubt about it.
100%. 100,000%.
I mean, you know, they asked me to work in the morning. It was a long day.
It's a terrible day.
This is the way that I'm going to manage my extra long schedule yesterday.
Peter says, I sleep between coaching games. No biggie. You don't sleep on the field, though. Right? While there's another game going on. Like, who's that guy in right field? Oh, is that Wino out there again? He hopped the fence?
He's the other coach. He just needed a little break.
Here's the deal. I have no problem with you sleeping while you're at work getting paid. I really don't. I talk to...
while you're on the clock.
I hope I won't get in trouble. I won't get in trouble for this. But I talked to... I ran into Flan the other day at school picking up... He was picking up his grandson, Jesse, Tim Flannery. And I was picking up Bo. And we were talking about your grind, actually, Ben. And he goes, I just don't know how Ben does it. And he said, for a time there, I was doing TV. I did it for about 3 years, and they paid me a really good amount of money. And, you know, man, an ex-ball player. And Flan wasn't back in the day where he was making, you know, a ton of cash.
Correct.
So he needed a gig. And he goes, I really enjoyed it. But then they kind of took the art away from it, right? And they really, I couldn't just come in, do my segment, and leave. They really wanted me there 9 to 5. He goes, and this is a quote, he goes, they gave me this bitchin' office up in the corner, and it had a couch and a desk, and he goes, I would come in my suit and tie. He goes, I would hang up my shirt and tie, I would sneak out the back door, I would go surf Beacons, and then I would come back to work. And do my thing. And I said, Splan, you SOB, that's such a great story. He goes, bro, you couldn't keep me in an office like a caged tiger all day. And I said, oh, that's badass. Now, he came in, he did his work. Who cares? You come in, you do your work. I do think you should.
I always get my work done.
You always get your work
done. Always get my work done.
The thing I would fear if I were you is like sleeping through something. And I guess by sleeping in there, you mitigate that.
Exactly.
Then wake up. You got 10
minutes.
And
when I went to my car, I always would set my alarm. You know, it's just 20 minutes.
You slept through it before.
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
It has happened, yes, but very rarely.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried about your lack of rest.
Well, it's gotten much better lately. And the last couple of years have been way better than the previous few. Just this week has been a longer week and just felt a little extra tired.
I love that you just curled up right in the middle of the news.
Yeah.
Kimberly Hunt walking by.
Yeah.
There's Ben, like a junkie, passed out, nodding off at work. See, they don't have to worry about that with you. They don't think that you've been out drinking.
That's true.
You know what I mean? They just know he's really, really tired.
In some ways, don't I look like I'm working extremely hard? Wow. He's that tired because he works that hard.
No, it looks like you're sleeping at work.
All right.
Yeah.
Could be. Could be a good thing.
You're amazing. Just amazing. It never fails to delight me, his stories.
But I felt
good after that. And
20
I feel
minutes,
good this
all
morning.
You needed, right?
20 minutes is the key.
That's it.
If you go longer, it actually
20 is a perfect number.
Wrecks you.
Yeah, 20 is a perfect number. It's all you really need. It's hard to get. I can't nap at all anymore. My wife has beaten it out of me entirely.
Elisa says, so the nap is eyewash. I work so hard. If you worked as hard as I did, you'd be as tired as I was, and you'd be taking a nap
as
well.
Yeah, that's true.
Apparently, all you awake people aren't working hard enough.
Keegan says, didn't Ben fall asleep once during the show? Yeah, a few times.
More than once.
More than once. Yeah. Definitely.
He fell asleep while driving. The two of us once.
Yeah, he did.
I was resting my eyes.
He did.
Because we had to wake you up and say, the light's green, go.
Was that in the morning?
No, I think it was on the way home.
Way home.
We were at spring training, Bell Road, those long, straight
signals take forever.
They take
roads
40 minutes.
In Peoria.
Yeah, when you're at a signal for 20 minutes, it's the perfect nap length when it's not turning green and you know you're going to be sitting there forever. Take a little, just little rest.
Yeah, a little snooze.
I thought we were going to die.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can only point out the restaurants that are on Bell Road so many times before.
Oh, what is that, Long John Silver's?
I'm like, dude, wake up. What are we doing here?
Oh, they got a TGI Fridays there. Oh.
Yeah, Ben Skeens. Tyler says, you're walking around the office. I outwork you. I outwork you. Yeah, taking a nap at work in the middle of the newsroom. You are a delight. You are such a delight. Well, I love you, and I think that you deserve all the naps. I would just go to the car next time, though.
I'll probably just turn on the car. You're
yeah,
right.
You don't want to make it a habit.
20 minutes, you're fine.
You don't want to make it a habit of like, well, oh, God, he's in there asleep
and
again.
I don't want to waste all the gas in my car either. You know me. I'm Jesus. Frugal that way.
He's out there freezing cold in his car.
I used to have a blanket in my car, but I rarely need a nap anymore, so I don't have the blanket there.
You're unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
Oh.
Anyway,
Padres made some moves yesterday.
They did.
You want to get into those now, or do you want to wait and do that in our next segment? I'll leave it up to you.
It's up to you, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Padres had a deadline yesterday to protect players on the 40-man roster or risk losing them in the Rule 5 draft. Now, you're not going to be super familiar with the names we're talking about, but there is always implications to these moves, and you know this is what the Padres and AJ Preller are up to, so we will talk about what they did and did not do yesterday when we come back.
And there's a couple of surprises were DFA'd yesterday around baseball.
All right, yeah. We'll get to all of those moves yesterday on After Traffic here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tier ones in our YouTube chat are starting to share the craziest places they've slept, which is fascinating. Elisa slept on the merch table during a concert once.
That is something. Was that sleeping or was that passing out?
I don't know. Goose slept in front of Best Buy for Black Friday.
I wow. slept on the lawn at the amphitheater during a concert.
But that was after many beers.
No, I was just taking a nap.
Taking a little nap-ski. Oh. I haven't slept any weird places. I'd prefer a bed or a car.
Black Friday's next week.
It is.
Have you ever gone early for a Black Friday sale? No, me either.
Do you think I've ever even bought anything on sale? Ever? Never. Are you kidding?
Accidentally, maybe.
No, oh, I mean,
I'm going to buy this. Oh, it's on sale. Great.
Yeah. So they record stores do the Black Friday record store day. And there was a couple years where I would get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and go down and wait in line. And I would wait in line and they hand out numbers and there's people there and the bands put out special
record store day. Isn't it like in like April or something?
No, there's a bunch. There's
they do
a few.
Like a Black Friday. One
there's a Black Friday one. It's pretty good. And like the list this year is great. There's 7 or 8 records I'd like to buy. They're exclusive to record store day. So I wait and get my number 69, and I'm waiting. That means I'm the 69th person to be able to go in and buy something. So I wait for hours, walk in. Hey, can I get the Cure special? No, we're out. You sold out. What about that Pearl Jam unplugged? No, sorry. So now you know what I do? I don't go anymore, and I just buy them off of eBay for double the price.
Yeah.
But I get what I want. And it sucks, but I'm not going to go camp out at 4 o'clock in the morning. Man. I love my man Lou. I love Lou's records in Encinitas, but I cannot wait for 6 hours, and then I get in and my record's gone. So what do you do? You know?
I don't know, but I do love a well-run system where you take a number.
Yes.
And then they've got the little board that shows how close you are. You're number 41. All right, they're at 37.
But with the record store, think about it. They're not huge places. So you only can let the first 20 guys
in. Yeah.
And they're in there picking through everything and mulling around.
Hurry it up. Let's go.
Yeah, you're there for hours, you know? So I don't have that
much
time in
the day. Which is part of the fun of being in a record store.
Right.
It's like browsing through all the things you're not going to buy also.
Correct. Correct.
But so don't do it on a Black Friday sale.
That's really the only place I have I've done the Black Friday thing. I've never gone to Walmart or anything to get a TV. I'm just chasing deals. It's just never been my thing. It's just not my deal.
We know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. Padres are
chasing some deals.
Chasing some deals. Could be chasing some deals in the Rule 5 draft. This week is the deadline to add prospects to the 40-man roster to protect them from the Rule 5 draft, which takes place at the winter meetings next month. Those are prospects who have enough service time in the minors. Once you've gone through enough years and they haven't put you on the 40-man roster, other teams can pluck you away for, I think it's like $50,000. And then they can keep you if they put you on the major league roster for the entire next season.
You got to be there for the entire season. And like, think about Stephen Kolek last year. It was a Rule 5 selection from A.J. Preller from the Seattle Mariners. And we saw Kolek on the roster until he wasn't. And once you let him go, he can go. He goes back
but
to the team.
But they didn't let him go. They put him on the IL late in the year. So
they
kept him that they have him. And now he doesn't have to be in the big leagues. They can put him up and down next year, but they couldn't do it this year. They had to keep him on the big league club. So there were a couple of minor leaguers who were going to be exposed to the Rule 5 draft that the Padres added to their 40-man roster yesterday, and they were all pitchers. Right-handers Henry Baez and Ryan Burgert and left-hander Omar Cruz all had their contracts selected and added to that 40-man roster, so no longer eligible to be taken in the Rule 5 draft. All three of those guys, decent seasons last year in the minor leagues. 22-year-old Baez is a top 10 prospect, had a 2.99 ERA for high Fort Wayne and San Antonio at Double A, which is might not be next year like starting pitching candidate in the big leagues.
Never
but
know.
Maybe by the end of the season, get a promotion. Definitely not someone that the Padres want to lose. Cruz and Burger a little bit older, but could be depth options for the team next summer as well. Burger just pitched in the Arizona Fall League, I believe, made five or six starts during that as well. So they think highly of those guys. Now, there are a couple of other guys they decided not to add, Woods. Lefty Jagger Haynes.
See, that's the name that I had seen mentioned as the one guy they would protect.
But he has never pitched above high A.
Okay.
I think they probably feel it'd be a stretch for another team to put him on the big league roster all year.
Yeah.
Even though he's intriguing, that's a tough ask for a guy to make that jump, and then you can't even send him down to the minors next year.
Yeah, you gotta weigh it because if somebody gets him, he's got to be on the big league roster, so they have to be prepared to use him. So it gives you a little bit of an idea of where they value
guys. He's the Padres' number 20 prospect. The highest prospect that they didn't add was catcher Brandon Valenzuela, who's their number 12 prospect. Really good defensive catcher, but didn't have a great offensive season last year. There could be a team in need of catching, though, who could take a flyer on him in the Rule 5 draft. And the one that surprised me a little bit, and again, I'm not Matt Friars, I'm not a huge, minor league Padres expert, but Javian Sandridge is a left-handed reliever, essentially. 21-ranked prospect in the system. Wasn't great last year. Had a 4.28 ERA, but hot, that's Double A and Triple A. A lot of strikeouts, 95 strikeouts in 61 innings. So we're talking about 1.5 strikeouts per inning. Now, walked way too many guys. Mike Schilt would go crazy. A guy who walked 49 batters in 61 innings, drive him crazy. But you could definitely envision another team going, hey, we make a tweak or two.
We can fix him.
Take this guy. He strikes out, misses a lot of bats. He's a lefty reliever, just like Kolek was.
Kolek's righty.
Oh, that's right. Kolek's righty. But that's the kind of guy that you kind of can hide in your bullpen and you bring him out in low leverage situations and work on him during the year. I would be a little concerned that the Padres could lose Javian Sandridge in the Rule 5 draft next month, but apparently They're not.
They're not.
They have 37 guys on their 40-man roster right now, so they could have protected someone else. But you also need room
if you want
to sign guys, yeah. If you're going to try to take someone in the Rule 5 draft. You need to keep some spots open in the offseason, or otherwise you're just going to be exposing players again after you go over the 40-man limit.
Yeah, it's tough, man. You see some of the teams releasing former top prospects. The Cubs released Brennan Davis, who... he was one of their top prospects, outfield prospect, many, but injuries have derailed him. George Valera of the Guardians, again, really good at AAA, but the injuries have gotten some of these guys out of it. But the biggest name I saw was Albert Alzolay was a Cubs closer at one time. He had 22 saves in 2023 with a 2.67 ERA, but he had Tommy John surgery late in the season. He's going to miss most of next year. I don't know that you want to add a guy like that because, well, if you add him, you can IL him. I mean, it's a decent flyer, you know, a guy that's got really, really good stuff.
Well, how much control would he have left?
I don't know.
Is he just a free agent at the end of that next year?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a bad spot for him to be in. When you have 1 year left and you have Tommy John surgery, you're not... I mean,
yeah, you're pretty screwed.
You're kind of on
you got to get healthy first.
You're on your own. You kind of got to get healthy, yeah. Unfortunately.
But he was probably the biggest name that was given his papers yesterday.
So, you know, a couple of moves. Not earth-shattering stuff, but this is the business of baseball, the stuff that, you know, A.J. Preller and his staff have to do on a day-to-day basis when not everybody's paying attention necessarily to, you know, the bigger moves, the Padres and the speculation. This is the decisions you make all throughout the offseason to try to formulate that roster.
Yep, 100%.
So we'll see if the Padres... You think the Padres trying to compete? It was almost a surprise last year that they took a Rule 5 draft pick because that's one of your 26-man roster spots eaten up by a guy who you're not really expecting to contribute. And Kolek, he had a couple of moments, but you know he was mostly hidden at the back end of the roster for a lot of the season as a low-leverage reliever. Padres, if they had maybe known that they were going to win 93 games, might have said, well, we can probably use that roster spot to better effect and try to win another game or two with another player. I'll be interested to see what they do this year and if they even think about adding a Rule 5 draft pick next month.
Wasn't there a year we started with like
three?
Yeah, that was tough.
Those are the bad days. those were the tough days when, you know, you're just taking flyers on prospects, hoping to, lightning strikes and you end up with a guy who ends up really, you know, good. The Flying Hawaiian was a
Shane
Rule
Victorino.
5 draft pick who ended up having a pretty decent career.
Very.
Not most of it with the San Diego Padres, unfortunately, but, you know, later on, Shane Victorino was a Rule 5 draft pick. And there are occasional guys who, you know, just don't have an opportunity in their organization. This is a chance for them to get an opportunity, perhaps, in another organization where they're not blocked by better players that are in front of them and just, you know, get a chance to shine somewhere else.
Mark Canna was one. Anthony Santander was one. Yeah. Brad Keller was one. Tommy Canley was one. Ryan Noda, Delino DeShields Jr. I think, who's the knuckleballer? R.A. Dickey was one of those guys as well. So, yeah, man, there's definitely a pattern here. Injuries can really help a team make that decision. Like we just mentioned, the Guardians and the Cubs, one of their top prospects, got let go yesterday. So you never know, man. Trying to catch on somewhere. But, you don't want your team loading up on a bunch of Rule 5 guys. You really don't.
It's never a great sign.
Doesn't
bode
well. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, Evan Drellick of The Athletic is writing about the changing face of broadcast rights.
Padres, interesting.
Padres have kind of already been on the cutting edge of, you know, what may be to come when they switched from Bally Sports to, you know, MLB Productions and Padres.tv in the last couple of seasons.
We're talking league-wide now.
But this could be coming everywhere, and it actually may be good to go Padres. I'll try to explain why a somewhat complicated issue, and we'll try to boil it down and give you the facts behind it when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome to the newest member of the San Diego Padres organization, Woods. This just tweeted in by baseball reporter, writer Francis Romero. Dominican starting pitcher Oliver Franco, 18 years old, officially signed with the San Diego Padres. Franco is from San Cristobal, 6'7",
wow,
200 pounds, great command of the strike zone, fastball at 88 to 93 miles per hour with lots of projection to throw harder. The current international period ends December 15th. So Padres have a little bit left over after they spent most of it or right at the beginning of the year on Leo Dallas DeVries, if I remember correctly. Now they have just a tiny bit left to sign a couple other guys before December 15th. Again, they're not expecting Roky Sasaki to come out this period. Otherwise, they wouldn't have any money for him.
Spent a dollar.
They're hoping that he comes out for the January 15th new period that opens up, but they're filling their last slots. And apparently, 18 years old is a little older than most of the international signings. Obviously, with that, 88 to 93 is no longer a head-turning velocity. But, you know, you develop guys.
6'7", 200, though, you do feel like I could get in there and get some work. You know, get in there and work our, you know, our magic on him and get him throwing harder.
At the very least, A.J. Preller may have a power forward for his pickup basketball team.
100%.
In the future. So that that just reported. And not someone you'd expect to see for several years in the big leagues, if ever. But again, these are the kind of offseason moves you keep an eye on. One thing to really keep an eye on, though, is how broadcast rights may be changing in Major League Baseball. A new story out from The Athletic's Evan Drellick yesterday that I think could be very good news for the San Diego Padres, and we'll try to explain it right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So as we know here in San Diego, the Padres were impacted, one of the first teams impacted by the bankruptcy of Diamond Sports Group.
Brutal.
Bally Sports. That happened last season, 2023, when the Padres lost their TV deal and was the first team to go to MLB Media produced rights. Since then, the Arizona Diamondbacks have gone on to they have like dbacks.tv now, and other teams are now starting to follow suit. Other Bally Sports / Diamond Sports Group teams that are in the bankruptcy case, which is still ongoing, but even teams that are outside that realm, according to this this report by Evan Drellick in The Athletic, they're looking at the expiration of deals. And Rob Manfred has in his kind of grand plan football, that as all these deals expire, he doesn't want them to go out and sign new extensions with Spectrum or whoever. He wants all their teams to get their local rights together so then they can bundle them in like a giant package to sell to a couple of big sources like streamers, Amazon Prime or Apple or whoever, and get them to bid, and then they will spend what would presumably be in like the billions of dollars for rights. And then that money would be shared, more like the NFL does with their media rights.
I was going to ask,
among the 30 teams.
How is this plan that we don't know a whole lot about, but learned a little bit about yesterday, how is this plan different or similar to like the NFL or the NBA, where all 30 teams, the broadcast rights are owned by the league, and it gets divvied out to TNT, ESPN, Fox, NBC, Amazon Prime,
whatever. It's definitely more similar, although I don't think, baseball, you don't have as many national games during the regular season. You're not selling rights. I mean, you have the ESPN and the Sunday night baseball games, but no one's going to have a package where they're basically showing every baseball game every night on television for across the country.
Baseball's so unique in that it's so localized as a sport.
That's the thing. In football, The Green Bay Packers are the smallest market in football by far. Green Bay is a tiny town, yet they're one of the most popular, profitable, media-centric franchises. They're the Green Bay Packers. If you did that in baseball, if Milwaukee moved to Green Bay and they were the Green Bay Brewers and the New York Yankees, the media rights would be, I mean, they're already insanely different.
They're already insanely
different.
But, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't even have a team, basically, in Green Bay in baseball. So it would be much more similar to the football model. Now, it'll never be exactly the same. The teams that are like the Yankees will not want to give up. The Dodgers will not want to give up their major local rights stream. So there's going to have to be some negotiation here. But
would it be equal, like divided by 30?
Yeah,
these are the devil that'll be in the details. And Evan is scheduled to join us, I believe, on Friday. We're trying to set that up to explain this a little bit more. But what really intrigued me in this piece. And he said, according to sources who have, you know, heard from, you know, Manfred and what the plan is, people briefed on the idea, says if teams are going to equally share all the local TV money, then they're going to want to share less of the other streams they currently divvy up. Now, I didn't know this, but teams today, according to Drellick, divide up 48% of their net local revenue. So that's ticket sales, you know, merchandising, concessions. So when Petco Park is sold out, you know, every single day, 46,000 fans, pretty much most of the games, the Padres are sending almost half of that money into a pot that is spread amongst the league. They're getting very little back in their media TV rights. So if that model changed and all of a sudden the Padres were keeping more of their ticket sales and concessions, the stuff that they do really well on, one of the best teams in baseball, I'd imagine, in terms of local revenue, like in the stadium, versus one of the worst teams in baseball in local media rights. And all of a sudden, if they were doing well or as well as everybody else in local media rights, but got to keep more of their money, I don't think there's a team this would benefit more than the San Diego Padres financially if they changed this to a national model that all the local TV money is shared amongst the teams.
Because they're selling out, they're selling merch, yes. They're selling tickets.
They'd be keeping more of what they're doing well.
Right.
And then getting more from what they're not doing as well, because San Diego is a smaller market,
yeah.
And they've had the media issues, struggles lately. So just kind of my reading of this situation, by far the team that would benefit the most, I think, would be the San Diego Padres.
We sell out a ton of games and sell a ton of merch.
Meanwhile, it would be teams like the Mets, the Angels. This would be a terrible thing for the Angels. They're in a huge market. The TV deal is probably decent, but like the in-stadium attendance, the merchandising and stuff,
not as good.
This would be a really bad deal for a team like the Angels that would then not have the advantage of their big market anymore. They'd actually have to try to draw people into the, you know, big A and, you know, get them to buy tickets and concessions and stuff. Padres are already doing that, so that could be a good thing for the Padres.
The part that jumps out of the article at me is this. Two huge questions will linger leading into negotiations with players, right? As part of the change in revenue sharing, will the owners pursue a salary cap? The answer to that question is most certainly yes. Something that those sports that you guys just mentioned, the NFL, the NBA, have. And either way is another lockout in the offing. A strong push for a cap would most certainly guarantee a protracted work stoppage, as it is something players have always fought against. And a work stoppage would be horrible. A work stoppage is not going to help national package bidding prices. It would also be a drain on the game at a time when rule changes such as the pitch clock and stars such as Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani have elevated the sport. Baseball is a very robust and healthy business right now. A work stoppage would be deadly for baseball. They got a year to figure it out.
Came close. Well, I mean, we did have a work stoppage a couple years ago, but we didn't really lose any games.
Yeah, we did.
Well, they made them up, though. They didn't have a shorter season or anything. They had to delay the start a little bit.
Yeah, they delayed the start.
I mean, you know, they showed up to spring training before the season. It wasn't as though, hey, it's opening day and we don't know what the plan is. So they did kind of get it done. You know, are they heading toward labor strife? Absolutely. Can they figure it out? I'm a firm believer that a salary cap along with a salary, you know, floor like the NBA or the NFL would be good for the fans, good for competition in the sport. Players are going to fight that tooth and nail. They always have, and they've been very successful. The baseball has the best players union in all of sports, and I don't see that changing. I think the only way that the owners are ever going to make this work, and they need to kind of realize this, they need to offer something so sweet, something it's going to sting for the players. Like we're going to do a salary cap. It's going to be so insanely high in the beginning, though, and you're going to make so, like, we're going to force all of our teams to spend so much money that in the first 5-6 years of this deal, you're going to be doing so much better now that when, you know, eventually this cap kind of kicks in, you're not going to even care. But ultimately, baseball, I think, does need to do something to check that unrestrained growth at the top where the Mets and they can spend anything they want on players, which I don't think is healthy for the sport.
It's confusing. It's a bit, you know, it causes a little bit of tired head. This, though, I think by all accounts, is a good move by Rob Manfred, right? And they're saying 2028 is kind of the earliest. But the problem
is, when all of the teams that have diamond sports broadcast, they all expire no later than the 20s.
Yeah, but you still have teams that are trying to work out new deals in the meantime,
You're going to have to tell them, hey, we don't want you to work out a new deal. And there's other ones that still go beyond 2028, you know, 10-year deals that were... It's never going to be as clean as the NFL. Hey, our media rights are up in 2028. Let's renegotiate with NBC and CBS and ESPN. It's never going to be that clean for Major League Baseball. It's always going to be messier.
Yeah. I mean, here's the point. And they're talking about it in the chat, too. Why would the New York Yankees want to split an equal share of local TV money with the Tampa Bay Rays?
Of course, they're not. But they are also part of an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And they can't unilaterally decide, well, we're not going to opt into this. They're going to have to make concessions. And the league will have to make some concessions to the Yankees. It's very complicated. That's why we want to have Evan on to kind of talk about this. This is
he needs to dumb it down.
This is going to be Rob Manfred's biggest challenge and potentially his biggest legacy.
This could
if he pulls it off.
Yeah, if he pulled it off, that would be.
Now it's a tightrope, and you know, given his aptitude for the feel on such things, could blow up in his face.
But back to the salary cap, because I understand why the players don't want that. They want to make as much money as possible.
Yes.
But if, in fact, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball were, at least in some regards, trying to follow the NBA's model, the NBA makes so much money on these TV deals. We've talked about it in the past. Like, if you are just the casual of casual basketball fans who couldn't care less about the broadcast deals that were made, in the last 10 years, you're looking at these contracts that come out every summer and you're like, I've never even heard of this guy. And he just signed a 5-year, $180 million contract.
Yeah.
Something that would shatter Major League Baseball's news.
Sure. Why does that happen, though? Why does Alperen Şengün get all kinds of money when you haven't even heard who he
Right.
He
but they
is.
Have a salary
made that
cap.
Name up.
I didn't make that
you
name.
Made that
in place
name
of
up.
The Rockets.
No, it's a made
he
up
can
name.
Make that. He can make that because LeBron, instead of making $300 million a year or more, like he probably should, like, international soccer stars can make, go to Saudi Arabia. What was the soccer? Mbappe got offered $600 million for 1 year. There's that much money in sports that they can do it. LeBron, though, can only make the maximum. And so he gives up, hundreds of millions of dollars in salary, essentially for the good of the sport. Now, he doesn't get, he doesn't have the choice. It's not like, I'll volunteer to take less money. Those are the rules. He plays by the rules like everybody else. Juan Soto would never get $660 million or whatever he's going to get if they had a new system.
But everybody in the NBA now, like you can be an all-star reserve,
but
and you're going to get a supermax deal.
But other players would do better. They'd get bigger contracts if you had a system like the NBA or the NFL that balanced it out a little bit more. The star players wouldn't get as much. The rank and file players would get more. And if you're the union, the union loves those big numbers. It makes it look like they're doing a great job. But the majority of baseball union players are not Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. They're guys who are doing fine, but could be doing better if they could get the big time stars to buy in and go, do you really need this much? Let's force all the other teams to spend more money on us. So instead of a $20 million deal, I'm getting a $27 million deal. If you have 300 players who get an extra $7 million and Juan Soto makes less, $100 million less on his big deal, that's way, way better for the league and the players. It just doesn't look as good for the big-time stars.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough.
So maybe the Players Association could come around.
They could.
It's going to help the majority
Absolutely.
Of players.
Yep.
And the top, 1% of MLB players are going to take a hit. But it's like, you can go back to the NBA. Like LeBron, you signed a $1 billion Nike deal.
Yeah,
like,
and Shohei, you're
going to be underpaid.
$100 million in endorsements. Yeah.
Now, players don't trust the owners. With good reason.
Sure.
There's been histories of, collusion and other things. They don't trust the owners to do, what's fair and right. So they always fight, as their union, as they probably should be doing. The owners are going to have to know that this is not going to be, they should not ever have a big win in this. It should be fair, but I think there's a fair solution that would involve a salary cap of some sort in baseball.
Be crazy, man. Be crazy to see a cap in baseball. Crazy. Right? Like, yeah. Just insane.
But it can't be one where the owners go, oh, my God, we just pulled one over the wool of the players.
Yeah.
That's not good for your sport.
No, it's not.
It may feel good like, oh, we won that negotiation. But ultimately, if
you're going to you got to lose that battle to win that war. If you're an owner, you're in it for the war. You're not in it for, you know, battles.
Lose the battle early to win the long-term war of checking, helping your sport, rein in some of the top-end costs, and make everybody else rich in the process.
Yeah, 100%, including yourselves.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah,
including
yourselves. Ultimately, the owner should be the last ones.
Yeah, how would deferments work for a capitalist who wants to know? It's a great question. And then everybody's just doing that. There's always going to be loopholes and workarounds, certainly. But, it's going to be hard for me to picture Tony Clark walking in and presenting that to these players and saying, guess what? You know, we're capped now, but
the bubble's, maybe not though.
Maybe not.
You're going to have those tough conversations with Ohtani and Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. You know what I mean? Like the top of the top of the line players, but everybody else, they're going to be stoked.
Yeah, for sure.
They could make a lot more money.
For sure. Yeah, it's interesting, man. And again, Evan's going to come on and dumb it down for us here in the next couple of days. Thank God. It's hard. It's hard stuff
Evan,
to follow.
Evan, explain it to us like we're morons.
We are.
Well, we are.
Yeah, no doubt.
Evan, explain it for us.
Yeah, Evan, explain it.
But, it could be transformative for the sport. It could actually be good for the Padres, which hopefully means it would be good for, you know.
But would each team, back to like how to actually watch the games, if MLB got this huge deal with multiple streaming partners like Prime and ESPN and all that, like, where would you catch a May 15th Wednesday Padres game? Is it going to be on one of those platforms every single night? Is it different?
Apple TV, like you sign up for one team, do you sign up for the MLB
like
package?
The Warriors, they have their own network, but they also play on Tuesdays on TNT sometimes.
It's going to get rid of blackouts, though, too, right? If you're
that would be the idea
under one umbrella.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so dumb. It happened to me 100 times. I had to steal a baseball game this year, and I don't do that. I'm not him. I'm not just helping myself because I'm in a different town. I just help myself to whatever. Oh, I'm not from here. That means I can just take this baseball game. Somebody said Woods would lose his mind on MLB Red Zone. Yeah, baseball's not meant for Red Zone. They have that. What do they call it? There's like the four games.
Yeah,
what the hell
quad
they call
box.
It. It's horrific. It's not meant for it. It's not.
But the equivalent would be like the in scoring position.
Yeah.
All right, the
All
Red
right.
Sox He's are in scoring position.
Strike one, foul
we're
ball,
going to Fenway Park
pick
now.
Off. Strike one, strike two.
We'll come back to that game.
It's terrible, dude. MLB big inning. It's horrible.
All right, Paulie's got the Rindler report coming up next. Some Jets drama, some NBA hoops as well. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up on the Fan.